The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum, your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. To call in live, dial anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free at 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you're listening from. It is November 20, 2022. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. My voice might sound a little funny because I've picked up a bug of some kind. In any event, I'll be fine. In any event, I have a great show for you today. As you know, this show is beginning its 20th year of broadcast, the longest-running brokerage show in the history of the state of Arizona. I can't speak about the rest of the country, but I suspect we might be the longest anywhere. In any event, the show is rebroadcast every Saturday evening at 9 p.m., so you can listen that time. You can listen now. You can listen to the podcasts on the website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. The show is available everywhere in the world where you have an Internet connection. Just go again to the website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. You can listen to the show live. You can listen to the podcasts. It's a great website. Yoni Tidi is going to be on as usual. My main guest today is Kenneth Timmerman. We'll get to Kenneth as soon as Yoni's finished making me more depressed than I already am. Go ahead. It's up to you, Yoni.
Israel is an independent nation. Rubbish. Israel is a Jewish state. Rubbish. Israel is a democracy. Rubbish. Bibi is a tough guy. Rubbish. Israel had an election. The Israeli people spoke and voted Smotrich and Ben-Gavir to the Knesset, and they are the third largest party in the new Knesset. But Bibi is doing everything to marginalize them. Smotrich should be defense minister and Ben-Gavir the minister of internal security based on how they did in the election. But the administration of Der Führer, President Brandon, is objecting. The loudest voice comes from the Secretary of State, a so-called Jew. The press is full of articles about the split between world Jewry and Israel because of Ben-Gavir. The majority of Jews in Israel are conservative, and they believe in the Torah in the Orthodox pathway. They may watch soccer on Shabbat, but they don't want anyone other than Orthodox rabbis in charge of the Torah in the Jewish state. They also don't want a terrorist state in Judea and Samaria. They want our soldiers, border police, to kick the rear ends of the Arabs often and to repeat it on a weekly basis so that no more Israelis are murdered by them. American liberal Jews want to teach children about trans this and homo that. They want to take away our guns and allow criminals to run free. They urinate in their pants over FBI pretend terrorism. They want to create a terrorist state in Judea and Samaria and make a deal with Iran that will give them nukes. So please, tell me where we are united. On Torah? No, they have women rabbis, and they tell their idiots in their congregations they can eat pork, drive on Shabbat, and every Tom, Dick, and Harry can marry each other, and it's just fine. So the hell with the liberal Jews. And Bibi is going against the will of the Israeli people and marginalizing these great men and their political parties. Democracy must reign supreme. Make Smotrich Minister of Defense, Ben-Gavir Minister of the Interior, and let the chips fall where they may, because America's not going to help us with Iran anyway.
Yoni, I thought you were going to try to depress me.
Oh, well, then you know what? I must have messed up this week, because I'm pretty depressed because I'm pretty angry about it.
No, you were successful.
There was an election.
I'm being facetious.
Elections must matter, and that's it.
All right, Yoni, I appreciate very much that you're on the show every Sunday. I look forward to your being on the show next Sunday with my guest host is going to be David Rothschild. All right, thanks very much for being on today.
All righty.
Kenneth Timmerman, are you with us today?
How are you, Bill? It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, other than coming down with something, and my voice might sound a little funny, otherwise I'm fine. Very brief introduction because I don't want to take up a lot of time. I'm going to ask the listeners to Google your name, Kenneth R. Timmerman, T-I-M-M-E-R-M-A-N. My first introduction to Kenneth was reading the book Countdown to Crisis. It's about Iran and its atomic weapons program, and it ends off with a tramp steamer with a scud and an atomic weapon destroying Washington, D.C., and that kept me up for several nights because it seems so plausible. And, of course, we're going to talk about Iran and their development of atomic weapons that seems to be unimpeded. But first, before I get to the atomic weapons, there was a very disturbing report about Iran planning on executing 15,000 protesters. I think they're mostly women who did not want to wear the hijab. What is going on with that? And do you believe that that will actually occur?
Well, that's a big question, Bill, going forward. What happened is this. The Iranian Majlis, which is their form of a parliament 2 weeks ago, set out a letter to the Supreme Leader signed by 227 members of this 290-seat so-called parliament. Well over two-thirds of the members, saying that the people who had been arrested, we're talking about 15,000 protesters who are now in Iranian jails, that these people should be executed to show an example to the rest of them who are still going out into the streets. Now, those executions have not yet started to take place. I believe there's been one or two at most people so far who have gone through the court system and been condemned to death. But here's the real problem, is that the regime in Tehran has a president, Raisi, who is known for his role in executing political prisoners. That is his claim to fame inside the Iranian political system. In 1988, he was the head of the judiciary. There were something like 30,000 political prisoners at that time, and he ordered them all murdered. They were all executed, 30,000 political prisoners. So we have a president of this Islamic State in Iran who's got blood on his hands from a previous generation and now being egged on by members of their so-called parliament to do exactly the same thing today. The Revolutionary Guards is behind it. The Basij, which are the kind of shock troops in the street, they are behind this as well. They support it. And it's a very, very dangerous thing. I think it could really have a devastating impact on politics inside Iran. And frankly, I think it could ignite the real Iran Revolution 2022, should they go through with this.
30,000 executed. What year was that approximately?
That was 1988, at the end of the Iran-Iraq War. Most of them were left-wing Mujahideen Halk members. Who had been working with Saddam Hussein against the Iranian regime. But still, they were political prisoners and summarily executed, for the most part, in the courtyards of the prisons.
And was there any world reaction? Because quite frankly, I guess I should be ashamed. I don't even recall that.
No, there was almost zero reaction worldwide at the time. Every now and then you hear people refer to that. And of course, when Raisi was the leading candidate in these fake selection elections last year for president, it came out in his bio. So we say, well, who is this guy Raisi? Well, he's the one who ordered the execution of 30,000 political prisoners, and he may be up to it again.
Is the world any different? Would the world react any differently if it comes out that they actually are going to go ahead with it and actually do it, the 15,000?
Well, I fear they would not react any differently. Let me tell our listeners what has been the U.S. response so far under Joe Biden. On the 18th, so this is on Friday, the Department of State put out a statement saying human rights abuses in Iran must not be without consequences. Therefore, we have engaged in unilateral measures, multilateral measures, and U.N. mechanisms to hold Iranian authorities accountable. That's a quote.
Yeah, but
really?
how do they hold them accountable?
Really?
What do they do?
No, that's what I'm saying. They don't. I mean, so they issue a statement. By the way, the UN measures This was a statement by the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, also on Friday, calling on Iran to please, pretty please, comply with requests for information. So this is just nonsense. There is no accountability. And in the Biden regime, they will not insist on accountability, because what they want foremost, above anything else, is a new Iran deal, a new nuclear deal, excuse me, with the Iranian regime.
But that's been shown to be absolutely worthless. I mean, they just keep developing their atomic weapons. They may be using that as a cover for what they're doing. I mean, it's absolutely
ridiculous.
That's
absolutely correct. That's absolutely true. There's no doubt about that. The previous Iran deal from 2015, you and I have discussed that on this program, was a sham. The Iranians violated it repeatedly. And any new Iran deal would be broken by the Iranians almost as soon as the ink were dry. And it would have a much worse impact, Bill. It would legitimize the Iranian regime. Right now, what are the Iranian people asking of the United States of America? They're saying, please do not legitimize this regime. Do not negotiate with them. Do not let them get away with murder, which they're doing now. There have been over 400 protesters killed by armed thugs in the street, regime goons in the street. And that's before any, you know, murder of political prisoners. So the Iranian people are saying, please hold them accountable. Do not legitimize them. Do not negotiate with them. And the Biden people are doing what? They want to negotiate with them.
What possible reason? Can you speculate? Do you know?
Well, I have long suspected that, remember, in that 2015 nuclear deal, there was a payment of $1.6 billion or $1.7 billion in cash, pallets of cash taken on board airplanes from Switzerland to Iran from the U.S. Treasury. Now, when you have that much cash sloshing around, it's very easy for a couple of pallets to make their way back to the United States or to overseas bank accounts from U.S. leaders. Do I know that that happened? I do not. I cannot prove it, but with that much cash running around, it's very easy to pay people off. And look, we know, and the next Congress is going to start to investigate the Chinese government payoffs to Hunter Biden, to the president's son. So perhaps they might start to investigate the potential payoffs by the Iranian regime to senior U.S. government leaders as well.
So you believe that the fact that the Democrats no longer are going to control the House of Representatives, that's going to change some of the investigations? I assume it has to.
I think it will. And the Republicans have announced this very clearly. So they would have to back down from these investigations if that were going to change.
Okay. I do have an email here from Sam in New Jersey. I'm just going to read the whole thing. In June, Iran removed IAEA monitoring equipment, including surveillance cameras installed under its 2015 deal with world powers to curb its disputed uranium enrichment program. 4 days ago, on behalf of the IAEA, the U.S., Germany, Britain, and France issued a statement against the ongoing development of an Iranian nuclear military capability. The statement included this: Iran must now provide the necessary cooperation, no more empty promises. The IAEA asserts that if Iran fails to cooperate, further action could be taken, which includes, under Article 12C of the agency's statute, options referring Iran to the UN Security Council for not complying with its nuclear obligations. The IAEA and the four nations, U.S., Germany, U.K., and France, are a joke. Do we laugh or cry? And so wrote Sam from New Jersey.
Well, Sam, thank you for setting that out, and we cry. To invoke Article 12C of the IAEA Charter, where they refer Iran to the UN Security Council, that's pathetic. That's pathetic. We are way beyond that. That's what the Bush 43 administration did in 2005, which is what led to five UN Security Council resolutions against the Iranian regime for violating the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons, which clearly they've been violating ever since. It's pathetic to see the U.S. and our partners in Europe backpedal so far in the pressure on Iran. We had a serious pressure. We had serious pressure on the Iranian regime President Trump called it the maximum pressure regime. Iranian analysts call it that as well, maximum pressure. It was working between 2018 and January of 2021. And the Biden administration has released that maximum pressure. They've relieved sanctions against the Iranian regime. They're trying to reimpose them in dribs and drabs. I'll give you one more example of that. Earlier this past week, Tony Blinken, Secretary of State, said, now we're going to impose U.S. sanctions on the directors of Iranian broadcasting, six people in the Iranian broadcasting regime, two of whom are involved in interrogating political prisoners. And what do those sanctions entail? Well, we're going to block them from using any U.S. assets they might have. Well, gee whiz, you think these guys are so stupid that they're parking money in U.S. banks? Really? So even the sanctions are a joke. It's a shame. It's disgraceful. The U.S. government knows what to do. U.S. politicians know what to do. The Biden administration is not doing any of it.
Well, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what happens in January when the Republicans get sworn in to have a majority in the House of Representatives. Ken, I've got to go to a break right now. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolfe. As you know, we have three breaks during the show. There are four segments. I thank you for listening, and I especially thank you for spreading the word about this show and for using the services of my advertisers. I say this all the time, but it's very important because that is the lifeblood of the show. I have to pay for the time on the station every week, and the only way I'm able to do that is I have some advertisers who are supported by my listeners. The advertisers need to know that they're getting business because of their advertising on the show. Otherwise, they won't advertise, and then you won't have any Middle East Radio Forum. Often I've said that it costs you nothing to support the show. What I mean by that, just switch where you're spending money from someone who does not advertise to somebody who does. You get great goods and services, and you'll be supporting Middle East Radio Forum. Please stay with us. We're right back with my special guest, Kenneth Timmerman. Dassault and Macros are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's Dassault and Macros, 602-996-8885. There are a lot of great Mexican restaurants in Phoenix, but I am very particular. When I want the best Mexican lunch or dinner, I head straight to Mi Patio on the southeast corner of 7th Avenue and Osborne. They serve all your favorite dishes and only use pure vegetable oil in their cooking. Mi Patio is sure to become your favorite Mexican restaurant, too. That's Mi Patio Mexican Restaurant on the southeast corner of 7th Avenue and Osborne. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services. Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolfe. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high volume impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free, 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to today's edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. I'm your host today. My guest is Ken Timmerman. And let's see, I got another email question. Let me go to that, please. From Colette in Baltimore, Maryland. Instead of walking the fine line between keeping an amicable relationship with Russia and supporting Ukraine, outgoing Prime Minister Lapid and before him Prime Minister Bennett have managed to anger both countries, what can the incoming government do to repair the damage done by these two? And I'm reading word for word from Colette in Baltimore.
Well, thank you for that question. Look, I am not an expert on domestic Israeli politics, but I can tell you this, is that Israel's government has been really treading a fine line, as Colette just mentioned, between Ukraine and Russia. On the one hand, Netanyahu had really cemented pretty good relations, a personal relationship with Putin, where Putin had authorized Israeli airstrikes into Syria, where they would knock out Iranian arms shipments coming into from Syria into Lebanon to then threaten Israel directly. And they had a deconfliction channel set up where the Russians would essentially stand down their air defense missiles and allow Israeli Air Force jets to go into Syria and knock those out. Now, that has deteriorated over the past year, 2 years, and it's not just been under Lapid. It is also it was also at the end of Netanyahu's last term as prime minister. Now, you have, with Iran supplying drones to Russia, and this is something we could talk about in a little bit more detail here, some of those drones may even be produced today in Venezuela. Very odd twist here, but that's something that's been going on for a number of years. Zelensky has said this week that the Iranians have a contract to supply as many as 2,400 drones to Russia. This is something that Israel does not look upon very well. They think this is a dangerous development. They do not want to see Iran and Russia develop these close defense ties, defense production ties, and potentially also to re-cement their nuclear cooperation. So I think Bibi Netanyahu is going to have a very difficult time in the coming months dealing with Russia, because Russia sees its interests more aligned with Iran than it does see them with Israel.
Now, I want to get into the fact that Ukraine has been requesting that Israel supply equipment, weapons, and of course, Ukraine has not voted with Israel at all in the United Nations, as far as I know. So it seems like a lot of nerve for Ukraine to try to get Israel to help them out when they've been hostile to Israel throughout the years.
Good point, Bill. And that's something that's important to emphasize. Zelensky, you're right. He does have a lot of chutzpah. This is a guy who will claim that it was a Russian missile that slammed into Poland and killed two people, when in fact it looks now like it was a Ukrainian air defense missile, an S-300 missile. We came because of that missile strike. There were 24 hours when defense authorities around the world were claiming it was Russia that had attacked a NATO ally. We came within a hairline of invoking NATO Chapter 5, the Chapter 5 of the NATO alliance, which is the mutual defense chapter, and essentially going to war with Russia. We got that close to World War III with Russia over a single missile strike that, by the way, Zelensky continues to lie about. So this is a this is a dangerous war between Russia and Ukraine, and it's dangerous because it could spin out of control at any moment. And I can certainly understand Netanyahu wanting to back off a little bit and to make sure that Israel also doesn't get sucked into it and does not get to pay a price for the adventurism of both Putin and Zelensky.
Ken, let me give you an observation. I think no matter where that missile that exploded in Poland came from, they were going to say it did not come from Russia to avoid, you know, the invocation of Article 5 and perhaps World War III. So I think there was a lot of reason to deny that it was a Russian missile and to say it came from Ukraine. Maybe I'm just speculating, but perhaps you can put a spin on that.
Well, I get that, and I understand that people would be skeptical of that claim, but just look at the map. For Russia to have launched a missile that hit in that particular area along the Ukraine-Poland border, they would have had to launch it from Belarus, and it still would have gone over 1,000 miles, or from deep into inside Russian territory, where it would have gone about 1,500 miles. These are long-range missiles. And so far, Russia has not been using that kind of missile in the war in Ukraine. They've been using shorter-range battlefield missiles. So, you know, just the range itself, the distance that such a missile would have to go, made me immediately skeptical of Ukraine's claim that it was a Russian missile. So I was skeptical in the beginning of the claims that it was a Russian missile, and now it just makes a lot more sense in terms of missile capabilities and what's actually there on the ground. These S-300 missiles, they're air defense and anti-missile missiles. They can go, I'm not exactly certain the complete range, but I would say probably around 100 miles, 200 miles at most. So they are not the long-range missiles. And for one of those to have misfired, missed a target, an incoming missile, and gone into Poland just makes militarily a lot more sense.
Well, I just wonder what would happen if, in fact, a Russian missile does go off course and hit Poland. Would they try to spin it so that it did not come from Russia just for the reason that I mentioned earlier? I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Well, I get that. But the other thing is that, you know, even 10 years ago, you would need to be a nation state to track the trajectory of a missile of that sort. And so we would rely on the United States or France or Germany or eventually Ukraine itself to tell us where the missile came from. Today, I think that there are now commercial satellite capabilities available to arms control organizations and others that could essentially track where the missile came from. They were able to track, for example, when Iran shot down a Ukrainian airliner leaving from Tehran Airport. It was non-profit, non-governmental organizations that were able to track the missile back to a Tehran government, a Tehran regime air defense battery. So I think it would be hard to disguise a long-range, basically a strategic-range Russian missile being fired across the entire Ukrainian landmass into Poland. I think that would be hard
okay.
to keep quiet.
Fair enough. Thank you. When we get back from the next break, I want to talk to you about the gas fields that Israel has developed in the eastern Mediterranean. I know that there's a lot of concern about there not being enough gas in Ukraine and in Europe. And I'm just wondering how the fact that Israel controls a lot of gas, how that is going to enter into the formula that we're talking about. So we'll get to that question after the break. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. Next Sunday will be Dave Rothschild with guest David Bedin from Israel. So please do spread the word about this show. We try to have an interesting live radio show for you every Sunday. And like I said, we're in the 20th year, just starting the 20th year of doing Middle East Radio Forum. So we must be doing something right because we have a lot of great listeners who support the show. And what do I mean by support the show? Use the services of the advertisers. Often it costs you nothing because you'll get great goods and services by using my advertisers as opposed to somebody who does not advertise. Direct donations are certainly welcome. People have asked how they can support the show if they're unable to use the advertisers. Direct donations are certainly welcome. I suggest $52 a year. If you're listening to the show, it ought to be worth at least a dollar a week, a dollar for an hour. It's nothing. But if you can send $52 to me, William J. Wolf, at my office, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, Arizona, 85020. I'll repeat the address, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, Arizona, 85020. I'd like to continue doing the show, but I need your financial help at all times. The 20th year is kind of exceptional, and I'm very proud of that, and I'm very proud of my listeners who make it possible. Please stay with us. We're right back with Ken Timmerman.
If you've been injured on the job, contact Robert Wisniewski and Javier Grajeda at the law offices of Robert Wisniewski. Mr. Wisniewski and Mr. Grajeda are certified by the State Bar of Arizona as specialists in the field of workers' compensation law. Both outstanding professionals dedicated to securing justice for the injured worker. Mr. Wisniewski and Mr. Grajeda can be reached by phone at 602-234-3700 or at azhurtonthejob.com.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini-mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269. Document Solutions of the Valley offers one of the lowest prices for your printer cartridge needs. Aside from free delivery, we even offer free cleaning for your office or personal printers. Document Solutions is a locally owned and employer-operated company that has been servicing Arizona companies' needs for over 36 years. For more information or printer cartridge pricing, call 623-252-8282 and ask for Richard. Again, that's 623-252-8282. And get treated like family.
I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on the show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to today's edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. We're starting the third segment right now. My guest is Ken Timmerman, an absolute expert on Iran and the Middle East, and it's a real pleasure to have him on the show. David, I want to get to all the questions. We have an email here from David in Scottsdale. How does John Kerry's family, who are a part of the Iranian hierarchy, play into the modern political bias toward Iran?
Well, there's a loaded question for you. John Kerry's daughter is married to an Iranian American whose parents and whose family still lives in Iran. They reportedly went on their honeymoon to visit family inside Iran while Kerry was Secretary of State. So clearly he is compromised as well. But, you know, I like to say this is the kind of compromise of Biden, John Kerry, and other top Democrats is also ideological. They are ideological supporters of the Iranian regime. They believe in the rule of the mullahs. Both of these men, Biden and Kerry, have been involved with the pro-Tehran lobby, NIAC, here in the United States. They've taken money from them. They have headlined NIAC fundraisers in the past. And NIAC supports normalization of ties between the United States and the Islamic regime in Tehran. And ironically, they've had one of their founders imprisoned by the Iranian regime because they got foul. They ran afoul of factional fighting inside Tehran. But this has been going on, Bill, since 1979 in the hostage crisis, when ultimately Jimmy Carter really decided that he liked Ayatollah Khomeini. I tell a story, and I tell part of this in my new book, and the rest is history: Tales of Hostages, Arms Dealers, Dirty Tricks, and Spies. Carter was approached by the French intelligence chief Alexandre de Maranche, and de Maranche said, "Look, you've got hostages in Tehran today. I've got a solution for you. Just place one of your aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf, and we will kidnap the Ayatollah and land him on that aircraft carrier. And once you've got him as your hostage, then you can negotiate." And Carter looked at de Maranche and said, no, you've got to be kidding. He's a man of God. We can't do something like that to Ayatollah Khomeini. He's a man of God. And this is one of the problems that the Democrats have had ever since. They give way too much credence to the phony religious credentials of the dictators in Tehran, and far too little credence and credibility to the true democratic credentials of the people of Iran, who are willing to shed their blood in the streets for freedom.
You know, Ken, I've mentioned many times on the show, with a question, I wonder, do the Democrats not love their children, the ones that keep supporting Iran and allowing that stupid deal to go through and wanting it again to allow Iran to continue to develop atomic weapons? Seems like they don't love their children. They don't love their grandchildren. What kind of a world are they working for? That's a kind of a rhetorical question, but I have that question all the time.
Well, there's a lot of politics involved here, unfortunately. You know, I've also worked for many, many years with the Foundation for Democracy in Iran, iran.org, and we have worked with dissidents inside Iran. We've worked with the heads of various organizations, both ethnic organizations, Persian organizations, nationalist opposition movements, for many years. And they have been pleading with American lawmakers for 30 years to break off the support of the mullahs in Tehran and just help the pro-freedom fighters. They would be happy if the Voice of America, for example, truly reported on what was going on in Iran instead of becoming the voice of the Ayatollahs, which it has been for something like 15 years. It's disgraceful. And this is, as I say, there is personal corruption involved. I believe that Biden and Kerry are personally corrupt. I think Obama was probably on the take as well. I cannot prove it, but I am, this would certainly fit the Iranian way of doing business. But I can guarantee you there's ideological and political corruption, where the Democrat Party believes that a Islamic regime in Tehran is to their benefit and not to the benefit of the Republican Party. So they look at this as a partisan thing, but also not to the benefit of the West. They want to do business with dictators.
And as I said, I wonder why they don't seem to love their children, wanting their children to live in a world free of this type of terrorism and this threat of terrorism. Okay, we are coming up on the final break before the final segment of today's show. The final segment is thankfully the longest, and then we'll get to that question I asked before about the gas fields in Israel. How does that play into the whole situation? You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. Thank you very much. I appreciate your listening. I thank you for spreading the word about Middle East Radio Forum, available worldwide on the Internet on my website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. So do spread the word about this show. We do have listeners all over the world. I like getting questions from all over the world. And we do have some other questions. I don't know if we'll be able to get to them because we have so much to do. I'm going to ask Ken to come on another show in the not-too-distant future to continue this discussion. because it is so important. Again, please spread the word about the show. Please help me bring the show to you by using the services of the advertisers. They're all great producers of goods and services. You'll be very, very happy with any of these people that advertise on the show. I personally screen them to make sure they are terrific advertisers. Please stay with us. We'll be back for the final segment with Kenneth Timmerman. I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on the show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090.
Texas Grill on the northeast corner of Bethany Home Road and 16th Street has been my favorite steakhouse for 31 years. Great food, especially their chicken fried steak, as well as daily specials in a comfortable setting, keeps me coming back for more. You just have to try it for yourself. Also a great Sunday brunch starting at 10 in the morning. That's Texas Grill on the northeast corner of Bethany Home Road and 16th Street. Give them a try and you will have a new favorite steakhouse too. If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
You are listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to the final segment. Welcome back to the final segment of today's Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. My guest is Ken Timmerman. Ken, now we'll get to that question I asked a while ago about the gas fields in Israel. I understand they have a tremendous amount of gas, and I understand that Ukraine and Europe are certainly in need of gas, especially with winter coming on. What's your take on what is going to happen between Israel and its gas fields and Ukraine and Europe and even Russia? Russia wants to export gas or maybe not export it, as the case may be.
Well, the Tamar and Leviathan gas field discoveries, which came on stream over the past couple of years, have just been a tremendous boon to the Israeli economy. There is something like $52 billion worth of natural gas in these two offshore fields developed by companies Delek and Noble Energy, which is now part of the Chevron group. To export to Ukraine, though, they're going to have to liquefy it. And I'm not certain of the capabilities of Israel to have liquefied natural gas exports. They certainly have pipelines that they're supplying Egypt with natural gas. They're supplying Jordan with natural gas. Liquefied natural gas requires specific export terminals and facilities. I don't think the Israelis have built them yet. This would be something tremendously important for Western Europe. There was an effort about 8 months ago to build a trans-Mediterranean pipeline from Israel to either Greece or Turkey and into Western Europe. The Turks tried to put the kibosh on it. By the way, so did the Biden White House. They did not want to see a natural gas pipeline from Israel to Germany or to, you know, to feed into Germany and to Western Europe at the time that Russia was cutting off its exports. The energy policies of this administration here in Washington are absolutely incomprehensible, Bill. Incomprehensible. The first thing Biden did was to cut off U.S. natural gas production in Anwar up in Alaska. He cut off new oil and gas permits. He would not allow permitting in federal land, and he shut down that pipeline that would have come, the XL pipeline that would have come in from Canada. We would not have gasoline at $3.87 or $4.50 a gallon or $6 a gallon as they have it in California if Biden had not done these things in the very first weeks of his presidency. He said that, you know, the inflation in this country is a result of Russia and Russia's invasion of Ukraine. That's poppycock. It began in January of 2021 when Biden slapped on all of these restrictions on U.S. oil and gas resources and transformed us from being a net energy exporter to now becoming an importer, where Biden is even going to Saudi Arabia and Venezuela and to Iran and asking them if they would pretty please expand their production and sell it to us. So we really have only ourselves to blame for this. I would love to see Israel export gas to Europe, but because it goes through Cyprus or goes on one side of Cyprus or another, Turkey gets into the game. Turkey has been looking towards Washington and working with Washington to keep this from happening. So there's going to have to be some political heavy lifting from Washington and in Ankara to get that to take place.
It seems like the U.S. government, the Biden administration, is really working against the interests of the United States, United States consumers, working against the interests of Israel and Europe, for that matter. I just don't get it. I think I'm not smart enough to understand.
It's astonishing. And, you know, the American people were telling pollsters that in the run-up to the elections, you know, on the 8th of November, 70% of Americans said that the country was going in the wrong direction. The Republicans had a 6% lead in the generic ballot. You know, do you favor Republicans or Democrats in Congress? And yet we got the results that we got. Who knows? Who can really say what happened there?
Well, I certainly can't, but I have all these questions. Let's get Saudi Arabia into the mix here. Where does Saudi Arabia fit into the situation with the energy crisis in Ukraine and Europe?
Well, here again is one of the extraordinary things. You have these two major energy producers, Saudi Arabia and the Islamic regime in Tehran. And what does Biden do? He immediately attacks the Saudis when he comes into office, attacks Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, now the prime minister, for his alleged involvement in the murder of an anti-Saudi so-called journalist, the guy whose columns for The Washington Post, by the way, were being written by a lobbyist for Saudi Arabia's enemy, Qatar, at the time. And this is not my speculation. This has all come out in a profile book called MBS by a New York Times correspondent. Okay, so it's the New York Times who is saying that this guy Khashoggi was actually a Qatari agent. But Biden has been favoring the Iranian regime, and he's been doing everything he can possibly do to destroy Saudi Arabia, to destroy Mohammed bin Salman, up until the past couple of weeks. In the past couple of weeks, they have shifted position because they've understood how damaging that has been to our interest and to the price of oil and gas. Biden, remember, went to Saudi Arabia in July begging them to produce more oil and gas to get the costs down here in the United States. The Saudis said, forget it. You've been too nasty to us. And by the way, it's not in our national security interest. So now the U.S. is trying to use a different approach. They sent this past week Colin Powell, who is the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, into the Persian Gulf to try to get the Saudis back on board working with us instead of working with Russia and working with China. This has been a huge strategic blunder by the Biden administration, pushing the Saudis, who are a natural ally of us, of the United States. They don't do things that we like all the time. I'm not saying that they're necessarily friendly with us, and I'm not saying that the society is a friendly society towards us with Sharia law. But the Saudi government and their interests are aligned with U.S. interests in the region, and Biden has just been pushing them apart, pushing them away, and going into the arms of Tehran. Makes no sense whatsoever.
And Saudi Arabia has been less hostile toward Israel, certainly. Israeli planes are now allowed to overfly Saudi Arabia when they're going somewhere. And I think that that is going to be a great benefit to both Saudi Arabia and Israel. At least I hope it is in the future.
And they want to join the Abraham Accords. But why would they join the Abraham Accords when President Biden publicly comes out against them and says, well, they're not really very important, and, we didn't negotiate them, so therefore we're not going to help promote them. Absolutely nonsensical. We have this, I call it geopolitical malpractice bill by the Biden administration. You can go to my website, kentimmerman.com, and sign up for my weekly emails to learn more about this. I talk about this regularly on a show called Prophecy Today, but it really is geopolitical malpractice. We favor the mullahs in Tehran, and we push away the Saudi regime and the Saudi government, oil giant, oil and gas giant, that could help us in many, many ways today and also be helping Israel.
And we push away Israel, of course.
And we push away Israel.
Okay, I've got a call from Steve in Northwest Phoenix. I think this is a longtime listener who hasn't called in a long time. Steve, you're on the air. Is that you?
Yeah, it is me, and it's been a long time.
I miss your calls. What's happened? Are you okay?
I want to ask you something for the team, both of you guys here. Back a few years ago, Egypt had developed LNG transfer plants there on the coast of the Mediterranean. And I had read that Israel was going to funnel some of the Leviathan and Tamar and some of Egypt's fields to this LNG facility and then ship it to Europe. Whatever happened to that?
That's a very good question. And the Egyptians were hoping to set up this plant in Idku, which is something like 50 kilometers east of Alexandria. They've been ramping up production. And again, the Egyptians are getting natural gas from Israel. And since the past year, they have become the fastest growing Arab exporter of LNG. So there is some they have been moving ahead with that. They are getting help from Israel. But let's not talk about this too openly or too loudly, because the Biden folks might get involved and try to shut it down.
Steve, thanks for the call, and please continue to call us. I miss your calls. You used to call all the time, and I haven't heard from you in a while. So please be well and call again. Ken, is the government of the United States now working against the interests of its own people? I know it's working against the interests of Saudi Arabia and Israel, but what about the American people? It seems like we've touched on this already, but it seems like they're hostile to the interests of the U.S. citizens.
Well, look, I think there's one easy way to understand what's going on with the Biden administration and the Obama administration before them, but Biden has really taken this and perfected it way more brazenly than Obama. They want to create a clientele, a dependent class, people who are dependent on government for services, for money, free giveaways. The student loan giveaway is just one of the latest. It's the reason that they do not favor programs that would decrease unemployment in the black communities and the Hispanic communities. They want to see unemployed blacks, unemployed Hispanics who depend on government for benefits, because that way they say, okay, now you vote for us and we'll give you benefits. This is something that the founders warned about, Bill, 250 years ago. Thomas Jefferson specifically warned that we would lose our freedoms and our Republican form of government, this representative democracy that we have, the day that there are more people receiving benefits from government than pay taxes to government. And we are now in that position, and that is the playbook of the Biden administration. They want more people dependent on government for services and money and food and you name it, than they want people paying into government.
Well, what are the Republicans doing, or what can they do about that?
Well, Republicans have it's hard to argue against free money, isn't it? But the way that you argue against it, and I think this has been going on, is that you go into the Hispanic and the Black communities and say, hey, what do you really want? Do you want to be a businessman? Do you want to set up your own company? Do you want to be independent? Do you want to get rich? Or do you want to be, a gangbanger and a drug dealer and a thug and on food stamps and on government handouts? And increasingly, I think Republicans do have a winning message, because it's a message of independence, of self-reliance, of self-respect, and of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, because the American dream does still exist until government completely destroys it, which is what Biden's trying to do. But it does still exist. It's out there. It is attainable.
But it's difficult to argue against all this free stuff that's promised, that's for sure.
It is. It is. And that is their strong point, and they know it, and that's why they do it day in and day out.
Okay. Ken, we've got a lot of things on the table here. We haven't really talked about Syria or Lebanon. How does Syria or Lebanon fit into the mix here?
Well, Syria and Lebanon are the advanced attack positions of the Iranian regime. Both countries have now become surrogates for Iran. They have become not just allies, but they really have become their advanced attack positions. And the Iranians are holding Syria and Lebanon hostage to their nuclear weapons program. And what I mean by that is very simple. Should Israel, God forbid, in the near future decide that they have no other option but to launch a military strike against Iran to take out the nuclear weapons program, Iran would then turn to Syria and Lebanon, as well as Gaza, to bracket Israel with missile strikes, with drone strikes, with infiltrations, basically with a military, massive military attack on all three sides. So they are, unfortunately, they are no longer independent countries. I have a lot of friends in Lebanon. It's just awful what's happened. The country has basically ceased to exist. It is controlled by Hezbollah. You can't even get your money out of a bank, should you have any money left in a Lebanese bank. The economy has completely collapsed under Hezbollah control, and it's really tragic. For the Lebanese people are wonderful, and they have always been there in a crossroads of the Middle East, of east, west, of north and south, and they've always been able to make money as traders off of that. But today they've just been completely destroyed by Iranian occupation under Hezbollah.
I'll tell you, the future does not look bright, especially when you look at all these issues that we've talked about today. As I mentioned to Yoni, he depresses me all the time, but he's speaking the truth. And I guess the truth is what depresses me. A little bit of levity. Did you hear that the Arizona officials finally concluded their election results and Calvin Coolidge won by a small margin?
Yeah, I was not surprised to hear that. You know, old Calvin is back. And, they brought in all of those votes by mule train, I guess.
Well, it's just it's very, very strange times we live in, that's for sure. Okay, we're about at the end of the show. I'll give you another 15 seconds to say anything you'd like, and then I got to do a promo for next Sunday.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on. And please, all of you, go to my website, kentimmerman.com, and you can sign up for emails. It's free. I don't sell your names to anybody. You'll get one weekly email, and go out and check out my book, And the Rest is History, Tales of Hostages, Arms Dealers, Dirty Tricks and Spies, where you learn how I became a hostage and arms dealer and an Israeli spy. For real.
And you also have other excellent books, but we don't have time to talk about that. Again, thanks very much, Ken. We will have you on again. We can talk about some of your other books. Next Sunday, as I mentioned earlier, David Bedin from Israel is going to be the guest of Dave Rothschild. I'm going to be out of town. So Dave Rothschild is taking over the show. Dave's a tremendous host, and you'll enjoy hearing him interview David Bedin. David Bedin's in Israel. He's fighting the fight from the grassroots and very important gentleman in Israel. Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum, and especially thank you for using the services of the advertisers and letting them know you're doing so because they advertise on this program. I appreciate that very much. And do spread the word about this show. Available everywhere in the world on my website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. Have a pleasant day, and I look forward to being with you soon.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.